Blog Talk Radio.
I pray on my knees every night. I need to start seeing the light. 'Cause the road that we're on ain't where we belong. We've gotten so far away from the truth. God has been and always will be the foundation of life's liberties. For Christians like me and you, it's high time we spread the news. We can't sit around anymore. Come on.
You there?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Why you new, Scott? Oh, okay. Scott.
No, Rodney, you're on.
Hey, Dan, how you doing, buddy?
Good. How about you?
I'm doing fantastic. Broadcasting live from Milwaukee, Wisconsin again tonight.
Oh, fantastic. And,
yeah, it was great. Actually, in Wisconsin, I got to meet Scott Walker. I got to meet our lieutenant governor. In the meantime, in the state of California, we had, the governor signed the bill that allows transgender children to use the opposing bathroom. Can't wait until some guy tries to walk into the girl's bathroom claiming he's confused sexually. And then we have illegal immigrants are now able to work the polls. Can't wait for that one. I can hear it now. You have no ID. That's okay. I have no ID either. You go ahead and vote twice. So.
But I can't believe it. I mean, thank God North Carolina came around, though. Their governor just passed, that law with requiring photo ID California. Yeah. I don't know what that's wrong.
I have no idea. You know what, Governor, I swear to God, 2003, we recalled Gray Davis as the governor because he was raising energy prices, and I'm thinking 2013 is time to recall our new governor. So I'm totally confused on what he's doing and how he's doing it, but, you know, this is absolutely ridiculous. So
he's so far to the left. I mean, it's this thing with the transgender bathroom for children. I mean, it's...
I had somebody who's actually a liberal friend of mine actually worked on the Obama campaign, made the point, this is begging for a lawsuit, because the first time a guy walks in the girl's bathroom or a girl walks in the guy's bathroom and there's a fight, a violent act, or something like that, the school is the one that's going to get sued. It's absolutely pathetic. It's begging for trouble, and it's actually asking for the worst scenario in violence in California history.
No, I couldn't agree
Not
with you more.
Hey, sorry, guys. Hey, Stacy.
Yeah,
sure. I keep getting stuck on rape and the things that could happen to girls in the bathrooms. I mean, I've always seen bathrooms sort of as a, you know, when you go to a club or whatever, that's kind of your safe haven. So now, I mean, in the clubs and stuff, in the bars or whatever, people are drinking out in California, are they just going to mix and mash the bathrooms so guys and girls can go in there together and there's never any question?
You know,
I know we're talking about how it affects kids and stuff, but...
that's the big question. The way the bill was written, it was written so that schools cannot, you know, it's the transgender, you know, they gave it some really sweet little name about, you know, no harassment type thing, no bullying. But the bottom line is, how does this affect nightclubs, restaurants, Catholic churches, the Mormon church? How does this affect every other public entity? Because right now, you know, in California, we had a huge problem with people rolling around in wheelchairs looking for a business without handicap access. And even if you were a mom-and-pop restaurant, in my town of Placerville, we have a lot of historic areas. You can't rebuild your establishment without a whole lot of historic permits and a whole process. So you've got a whole lot of businesses going, sorry, we don't have a bathroom, because they can't change it to handicap access without a whole lot of rigmarole. And so they just tell people they have no bathroom. And how does this affect them? How does this affect the churches and everything else? Small mom-and-pop businesses where you're putting somebody in a bar with drunk people and you have to allow men in the women's restroom, women in the men's restroom, you're begging for a lawsuit. And I can actually imagine there's going to be companies who just go, screw this, I'm done, I'm out. I don't want the lawsuit, I close.
I agree with you.
Why would you even put men and women on the bathroom doors anymore? I mean, why not just have one restroom and get over it? You know, like,
anybody out there, or did we lose internet access?
And you're asking for violence, you're asking for discrimination, you're asking for businesses to shut their doors in the state of California by allowing this.
That's incredible.
Yeah,
it's
ridiculous.
This whole thing is, you know, I don't know what the heck Brown's thinking about. you know, and where it's going to lead to. It's when I heard that on the news today, I was flabbergasted. And then they were talking about North Carolina, how there's going to be lawsuits against requiring photo IDs. And it's like,
yeah,
you need a photo ID if you're going to go into a bar. You need a photo ID if you're going to buy a pack of cigarettes.
You need a
What's
photo
the
ID
big
to
deal
drive.
About needing a photo?
You need a photo ID,
you know,
to check into a hotel. You need a photo ID, which actually, here's a funny story for you. You need a photo ID to fly on an airplane. I flew from California to Wisconsin. I have to go from Wisconsin to Syracuse, New York, from New York to California. I left my ID on the plane. Their policy is to destroy IDs they find. So I'm now in Wisconsin without an ID.
Oh, no.
And I'm going, you know, but yet you don't have to have an ID to vote. And if I require an ID to vote, I'm somehow ruining your civil rights. And I'm going, excuse me. I mean, that's our coined phrase. You know, go back to Common Core in the schools. We need common sense, not Common Core. People, please, get off your couch and get involved. This is getting ridiculous.
Oh, I agree. I mean, it's also, you know, we're talking about this, the government's justifying taking away our Fourth Amendment rights, you know, listening into our conversations and everything. Yet the biggest threat to our national defense are our open borders. And so they strip our constitutional rights while allowing the door. It's like I described it this morning on a post I made. I said it's like opening up all the doors and windows, then buying some bug bomb and a fly swatter and expecting the bugs to go away. I mean, it's use some common sense. Shut our borders down and stop taking away our constitutional rights. I mean, it's been driving me crazy. And it's like what's going on in California is use some common sense.
Huh?
Can you get paid for your work? You do?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, and what's really funny about that is,
I'm
out here in Wisconsin, and we actually have the whole fight against Governor Walker and everything else going on out here, and you have the fight against him, the fight against the union, and they try to do a recall against him. It didn't succeed. And it's because he's bringing forth common sense value. And right now, every time I turn the TV on, you got pro-Paul Ryan and the entire union's running anti-Paul Ryan ads against Paul Ryan. And it's, you know, he's trying to put forth good reform for immigration, and they're trying to kill him on it. I mean, they are so pissed. They're more pissed at Paul Ryan right now than Walker. It just amazes me. You know, we just finished the fair out here, and the people, I cannot believe the anger and the atmosphere out here against the right and against conservative values. And it just, they have been convinced that anything that makes sense is evil. And if it makes no sense whatsoever, let's do it.
Exactly. It's like, this is what I don't understand. It's, you know, let's take away our constitutional rights. Let's open the doors to immigration so that, you know, every crazy person in the world can come in. Let's take all the good religion, you know, the solid, peaceful religions, throw them out the doors, bring in the ones that are hate groups. I mean, this, it's like, hello, people. wake up.
Here's a scary one for you. I have to fly from Wisconsin to New York. I have to go work the New York State Fair because the company that I work for is out of Canada right now, okay? They cannot get their own salespeople into America on a work visa because they're not allowing it. But the New York State Fair sends me an email that they want to make sure I understand it is okay to hire an illegal immigrant to the United States to work for me, as long as they came from something south of the border, not north of the border.
Well, that makes a hell of a lot of sense.
I am dead serious.
You should start reporting that all over the place. That's such an example of all the things that conservatives are called conspiracy theorists over. I mean,
oh, yeah.
We're called
morons.
We're
the tinfoil-wearing people.
And I have a question, Rodney, since you're out in Wisconsin and from California. Here in Alabama, we see a lot of illegal immigrants, and I've been to San Antonio and throughout Texas, and I've seen how the problem can eat up a community. Do these people in Wisconsin that are all about amnesty, do they see illegal immigration like we do in the South and out in California? Do they have a sense of what it really means?
Not in Wisconsin. In Wisconsin, they don't really see the illegal immigration issue because we're so close to the Canadian border, they don't see it. And actually, the northern border is 10 times more secure than the southern border. Once I get to New York, it's a whole different story. I am not allowed to carry my concealed weapon in New York, even though I am legally licensed by my sheriff to carry it. You know, and God forbid, you know, if I carry a soda pop in New York, I think it's a felony. I'm not sure.
I wouldn't doubt it. Yeah. New York State is they're crazy over there, and I don't understand New York at all.
I'm going to New York thinking it could be just like California in a heartbeat, you know. But I had somebody actually make a comment to me, actually Lieutenant Governor of the state of Wisconsin made a comment to me that actually made me smile like you wouldn't believe. She goes, just remember, Texas used to be a blue state. Wisconsin used to be a blue state. California is only a blue state until you fix it. And I went, thank you, ma'am. And I had to give her a hug. She gave me faith because she told me the truth. It used to be a blue state. We can fix it. And in California right now, back home in Placerville, California, Tim Donnelly is at the Tea Party tonight speaking, and he asked me, what do I say? Give these people faith that it can change. And it's going to change. Because we're going to get rid of the top-down, consultant-based, volunteers-don't-matter organization the Republican Party currently runs. We're going to go back to ground game. I guarantee you, I say it right now, give me volunteers to win 500 local races in California, I will give you a Republican governor. Guaranteed. It can be fixed.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I agree.
There's faith. But people have got to get off the couch all across America, in every city, in every county, in every state in this country, people have got to get involved. And I think it was Montrose, or no, it wasn't Montrose. It was a woman named Hippie Chick. Her name is from San Diego today said she no longer does politics. She does low information voter education. And I said, that is how we win elections. Low information voter education. That's what we need to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we win.
I found myself doing the exact same thing because I have a lot of friends in their 20s and they've come up in this education system where they've been indoctrinated, but they've been raised by conservative people. I was in Panama City this weekend with a group of girlfriends, and I was talking to one friend, and we stumbled upon Obamacare, and, like, she started talking about how bad it was, but then, like, transferred into talking about how horrible big business was and how it wasn't fair that they had all of this profit, And I just stopped in my tracks and said, would you ever go into a business with the purpose of being fair and not earning money? Would you ever stop at any point and say, I've got enough money now, I'm going to start giving it to people who don't have it? Like, and that gets young people. Like, conservatism is so easy to explain, but Republicans are caught up in themselves and don't even know what it is anymore. But it's not hard to explain to a young person, you want to be rich, so why do you hate other people for being rich?
Yeah, and better yet, you know, you said it perfectly. Find me anybody in America and tell me honestly, you're going to work. You know, I just got done working 11, 16-hour days in a row. Tell me you're going to work 16 hours a day, every single day, never be home with your family, to build a business, and your entire goal in life is to make zero profit because you don't want to be one of those rich people. Mm-hmm. You don't want to succeed. You don't want to make a profit. You don't want to hire new employees. You don't want to be better than the next generation. You don't want to provide a better income for your children or a better life for your children. Your entire goal is status quo. Do not succeed. Do not strive. Do not try and do anything. Screw the hurdles. But you're going to work 17 hours, 16 hours, 15 hours a day to get to nowhere. Find me anybody in America who thinks that's a good idea besides Obama.
Well, get this. This is another one I love. It's a turn around and say how much the oil companies are making in profit, right? And I go that, you know, these oil companies are publicly traded, correct? Well, show me where they're making these fantastic profits that you're telling me about. Because otherwise it should be showing up on, you know, on NASDAQ, on the Dow. You aren't seeing that. You know, so these numbers are fictitious. You're looking at gross income instead of net. They don't even understand that. They don't understand what the cost of goods sold means. You know, the basic behind business principles, and it drives me crazy. It's like...
Well, I figured out last year in the state of California, if I hire you as an actual employee, the day I hire you, before you ever work a single hour for my company, because of workman's comp, health insurance, and everything else, I am $28,000 in debt from the day you start working.
Mm-hmm.
$28,000 from the day you enter my workforce.
They don't understand. They're taxed. You know, you're
well,
taxed.
Well, you know why? We touched on this last week about y'all are talking about, you know, people understood this and that and this and that, and do you want to do this and that? They don't teach that in school anymore. They don't teach, like we talked about that with Kay Carl, about how they're not teaching things about prosperity and hope and pride in your country and the American dream and what it means to prosper. It's all about fairness, and they're actually, with Common Core, encouraging kids to use their emotions against their parents so that they can get their way. And instead of teaching grammar and politeness and how to be a good citizen, they're teaching their kids how to go up against their parents and win an argument. So it always goes back to the schools, and it's so frustrating.
Mm-hmm. Our schools today, I mean, they're a joke. It's driving me crazy. You know, when they don't teach what our country is. And, you know, they're sitting down and they're feeding a line of indoctrination into the system, but they don't teach them how to think. They don't want them to know how to think, because it's much easier to manipulate somebody who doesn't have a clue.
Exactly.
And that's the whole key. And it's sad to see, you know, people allowing this. I don't know what we
are. Some people fall for this stuff. I don't understand how you can fall for it. I really actually don't. I must have been raised in a generation where thinking for yourself actually mattered, and I can't comprehend how people can fall for this. How do you follow this line of action? We raised the taxes in California to fund education. They admit it's not going to go to the classroom. It's going to go to backfill the pension deficit for the administrators, and your gas prices just went up 32 cents a gallon. I can't even comprehend how people can look at me with a straight face and go, this is all about those rich Republicans. Really? You're a single mom on welfare with three kids, 32 cents a gallon. Tell me how this doesn't affect you.
Yeah, I
I'm just waiting for right I'm waiting for Obamacare.
Oh, I was well, did you hear the? Did you hear the latest one? He suspended another one, part of the Obamacare today, and it's like the fourth one that he's done, which for one thing is constitutionally illegal, but he's still doing it, and nobody's raising hell. He can see that his own program is not even feasible. And, you know, what's driving me crazy is our government sitting and allowing this guy to do whatever he damn well pleases. You know, Congress
well,
is
both
not...
Republican and Democrat, both sides of the aisle, Republican, Democrat, every single congressional member, all 435... have opted out of Obamacare. Defund it, get rid of it, stop playing with it, but yet you're not going to do that. You're going to opt out of it for yourself. I honestly believe nobody's safe this election cycle. They all need to go.
Oh, I agree with you. I mean, I have never seen a more inept group of people in my entire life. I am just so furious with them. This president has been allowed to get away with literally murder. You know, nobody will take credit for responsibility for Benghazi, Fast and Furious, Solyndra, the IRS. You know, the list goes on. I mean, I need scientific notation to keep up with the damn laws he's broken. And what have they done? What has Congress done? Zero. And it's not just a Democrat thing. The Republicans are just as bad. And I agree with you. I think we need to vote the whole lot out.
I do too. And I actually have a quick story about this because, Rodney, today was kind of going, oh, some of them can stay, because I am a big fan of Jeff Sessions and what he's done against immigration reform and calling people out to their faces. He was on a local radio show here this morning and talking about all the reasons he refuses to defund Obamacare. And I'm sorry, but this is not your issue. Why are you in Washington? I sent you there to stop these fools, and you're going to sit back and agree with them? And so no matter what good you do in Washington, if you're going to let Obamacare happen and destroy our country, I don't have any need for you, and it's time for you to get out.
Yeah, and that's the funny part is they all kind of go, well, I'm only one person, and here, let me give you a bunch of reasons why I can't fix this. It's like, I did not send you to Washington to be chicken. I sent you to Washington to fix this country and to represent me. I personally think we do need to go to term limits. People used to go to Washington to serve their 2, 4, or 6 years and then go back to their farm and serve their family. Now it's become a lifetime career. And I hate to say I'm the worst of the worst because I'm from California like Scott is, and so we have Nancy Pelosi and Barbara Boxer. You know, Dianne Feinstein entered office in the 70s, and she's still around because we can't beat her.
Oh, I know. I mean,
what was
well, I love California.
While you guys talk, I got to find her tweet today.
But I mean, it's I remember Boxer, Feinstein, Pelosi, and I left, as I said, California in 2006. It's it's absolutely incredible, and you know, back in New England, look at let me see, what was his name? Ted Kennedy. He was in there for 100 years. Politicians back east, they come in their 20s and either die or, retire in their 80s. It's ridiculous. I mean, and they made it their, that's the way, that was their careers. I mean, it's not like doing your civic duty. Our politicians today, this is a career path, and it was never meant to be that way. This, our forefathers never dreamed of having to put term limits in, because they figured that after 2, 4, how many years, they'd be done and that would be it. But today, it's these people, they're making millions of dollars. They're making a fortune off of us. And, they're turning this into a career path.
Well, yeah, that all started when they quit allowing, it used to be the state, the Congress was elected by the people of America within their own state. The Senate was voted for or appointed by the governor or the legislature. Their only job was to represent their own state, not to kowtow to them. And when they changed that we vote for U.S. Senate, it fundamentally changed the entire election process of Congress and the Senate and became lifetime careers.
You know, they also, they didn't spend their time in Congress as their career. They didn't have town hall meetings where they had to face their constituents once or twice a year. They came home and worked with their constituents. Like in the state legislature, to give you an example, I was doing a cheer camp thing the other night, and I was the speaker, and the representative from my district was there watching his granddaughter, and I've been trying to have conversations with him about Common Core, and he stopped replying to my emails, and he caught my eye, and he knew I wasn't happy with him. I was still polite, but if we had more of our state senators and state representatives coming and having to look us in the eye, we would have a lot less of this problem.
I agree with you. My congressman no longer returns my emails either. He just totally ignores me. And it's like, well, why the heck did I even vote you in? If you aren't going to serve me, and serve us as we the people, then why the hell are you there? And, it's time that we started calling it up and saying, either you start working for us or you find a new job.
Yeah. Well, you notice today I'm back here in Wisconsin and I'm watching the local news, and it's a liberal news station. And the biggest news story was Obama is in, of course, on vacation again, because, he doesn't take enough vacations from the presidency. And he is, swore he loves broccoli or something like that, but their biggest news podcast is he ordered hot dogs, french fries, and onion rings today. That's the best they can come up with. And then I get a tweet today that Senator Feinstein, she wants to limit your protection from free speech to paid journalists only. Otherwise, you're no longer protected.
Yeah, that sounds like her.
Yep. I mean, how pathetic is that? What happened to our First Amendment? First Amendment guaranteed to every citizen of America. But yet she wants to go ahead and say no. Because of that idiot, that didn't do anything wrong, that's supposed to be the enemy of America, that the Russians are protecting, who Obama won't even go see the Russians now, and destroy our only ally against Iran, and because we can stop people like that, we're only going to afford the First Amendment to people who are paid journalists. Other than that, you don't get your First Amendment rights anymore.
Hey, speaking of state fairs, Rodney, how about that nonsense that's happened in the Missouri State Fair with the rodeo clown? Since when is it not okay to mock a public servant? These people have so lost their place, and they need to be reminded in a hurry that they're out there, and the NAACP is calling for an investigation, a federal investigation, because someone mocked the president. We have a king. I mean, it's not one of those situations where if we're not careful, he's turning into a dictator, and people are sitting back and watching it and joining the outcry against the man who mocked the president. I believe when I was in high school and college, I remember little more than hearing George W. Bush be mocked. Like, that's what Saturday Night Live was for 8 years. And now suddenly no one can speak badly of him? This is
insanity,
you know?
I didn't even hear about that. That's the Missouri State Fair?
Yes, and he has been banned for life from wearing an Obama mask and running around and the MC saying, well, how would you like to see Obama being hit by a bull? And so the rodeo clown's running around, the crowd going insane, loving it, and then the entire state and country is just coming out appalled that somebody would mock the president of the United States.
See, I look at it the opposite way. I'm almost on halfway their side. I think it's pretty scary for the bull to have to look at Obama.
Well, if I were the bull, I'd be running the other way.
Yeah, exactly. But here's the thing. Feinstein wants to limit who can be a journalist. Basically, if you're a blogger, Dan, you, me, Scott, Casey, we no longer have First Amendment rights unless you are a, quote-unquote, paid media journalist. You are no longer protected under the First Amendment. Which
and
means
so I assume you have to go
are screwed.
To get those credentials. Like, how do you get journalist credentials? Do they have to be some kind of paperwork that you fill out through the government to make it officially a state-run media?
I don't
probably
know. I'm sure Scott can help us with that, but I think we're screwed.
Well, this is Jennifer. Welcome. Hey.
Hey, Jen.
Hi, guys and gals. You know,
welcome.
Let me tell you some positive news. There's a candidate running in New Jersey, and her election was this evening. It's a special election. She ran against Lonergan. Let me tell you how powerful things are and how powerful the Frederick Douglass message is. She had an opportunity recently. She was invited to go to an NAACP-sponsored debate with her opponent, Longan, that was supposed to be there. Now, for whatever the reason is, this guy did not show up, but she did. And she had an opportunity to get some coaching. She was able to talk to the founder of the Frederick Douglass Republican Movement, and so she went into she went to this event, and she realized that she is a Frederick Douglass Republican, that she stands for the Constitution, she stands for limited government, she believes in personal responsibility and has respect for life. Because of those life-empowering values, she realized that she was in lockstep with the same values and ideas of one of our founding fathers, the founding father of the Republican Party, Frederick Douglass. And typically, as you see in the left media and in the left in general, they always like to play the race card. And so the first question they asked her from the jump was, what type of Republican are you? Are you a moderate? Are you a constitutional conservative? Are you a Tea Party? And she said, none of the above. I am a Frederick Douglass Republican. And they applauded her. And from then on out, she was able to talk about her own alternative to Obamacare, which they loved. She talked about school vouchers and school choice, which they loved. And afterwards, she was met with a lot of, you know, please, can I get a picture with you, and a shaking of hands, and that sort of thing. You know, what I'm saying is that our Constitution and our preamble, all those documents are still, they're timeless. They still resonate today. And if we stand on those values, if we stand on those core values, people of all ethnicities, people of all races embrace those. At the end of the day, I really believe that the sooner we can remove big government from our lives, I think the better off that we will be. You know, there are those that want to keep the handout. They want someone else to do for them what they should be doing for themselves. But I think that once people in general begin to get a taste of personal responsibility, when they begin to see what this nation was founded on and why so many people for so many years have done all they can to come in here illegally or to become legal citizens, people have always flocked to the U.S. You know, I've never known anyone to want to come to any other country more desperate than people have wanted to come to the United States. And so I believe that if we stand on those core values as Americans, if we begin to do the things that we can to discuss those in our communities with our neighbors and with our family and friends, that we can make a difference. The polls are showing tonight that she did not win, from what I understand, that he was pretty much, you know, but I will tell you, though, she got into the race kind of late, but the thing that I saw is that she was able to take the values of Frederick Douglass, walk into an NAACP-sponsored event, and nobody could disagree with her. Nobody could disagree with her.
But Jennifer,
yes.
the problem that most people have in this country is Obama won a second term in office based on absolute failure in office because people don't believe in their GOP. They haven't heard Kay Kirk Smith. They don't understand the benefit of standing up for your own self. They don't comprehend that it's a lie to keep you in the ghetto or to keep you whining and sniveling and complaining, and they would rather take the free ride. They reelected Obama based on absolute failure. And Tea Party and Republicans all over the country saying one thing. Why does it matter anymore? You now have the state of California who just passed a law. Illegal immigrants can actually work the polls on Election Day. I can't wait to see it. You have no ID. I have no ID either. You vote twice. How do we win?
What I'm seeing is happening, the people that I'm talking to, is that the icon of our grandfather of the Republican Party, the media doesn't really want to talk about Frederick Douglass. So it's going to be up to us to start doing the things that we need to do to educate people on the truth about these matters. Now, you've got a majority of the public that would rather hear who is number one in American Idol than talk about history. But you know, I'm finding that those that are out there, there are people out there that say, I believe now that I'm hearing a message that resonates. I'm hearing a message that gives me hope. I now have a message that transcends time. People say, well, okay, so that was back in the 1800s. You know, how can we take that and apply it to today? There is there's a speech that that Douglas gave that is very, very important. If anybody wants to go find it, you can go online to this website called TeachingAmericaHistory.org, and there's an excerpt from Douglas's speech that he gave on Lessons of the Hour, and he talks about some really key things. But if you read this speech, you will see that the things that he talked about then are still pertinent to today. And when you talk about holding our Constitution and holding our preamble, all those things are still important. We should not forget where we come from as a nation, or we'll be doomed. I believe that. But people are saying that they're feeling empowered. They feel like they've been equipped with the answers on how to get this nation back right. Now, the more people that know about this information, the better off we are as a whole. But the one thing that you've got to do is we've got to figure out a way to defeat the media propaganda. I had gotten a letter today, the other day, from Lisa Harris. She's fighting the really good fight in Common Core in Alabama. And in this letter, she was sharing with us the differences between the traditional lesson versus the Common Core lesson of one of the most famous poems by Robert Frost, and it was so enlightening to read this. Explaining the upside-down approach of Common Core in the hierarchy of learning examples in poetry. And I believe that it's going to be so key for us. If whatever state you're in, do your homework. Really pay attention to what's going on in your community. And if you find any of these organizations and meetings, I would really suggest that you go. We have one coming up in Alabama. There's one on the 16th in Birmingham, Alabama, and there's another forum that's going to be in Huntsville on the 17th. But we have some key people that are coming in. We're going to be talking about Common Core and exposing the real truth behind this. If all it takes is for the lesson plan to be taught as fact to our younger youth, to our young people, and if we start omitting certain things that are part of history, and we do this slowly over time, by the time that my 11-year-old gets to college, things are going to be so distorted for him, you know, and then when he gets older, so it's going to be so key for us as parents. I don't rely on what I hear on the television news to tell me what's really going on. I need to be able to investigate for myself. Not everybody is interested in that. And then you've got some people that, you know, they're having to work several jobs, raise kids by themselves, and that sort of thing. So, you know, every little bit that we can do to engage in our community and start conversations with our neighbors, with our friends, people at church. You know, and some people, I think, get tired of hearing me, you know, in the rhetoric that I don't call it rhetoric, but the rants that I make. Some people get tired of that. But you know what? If we don't do this, one day we're going to wake up and there's going to be people that said, what has happened? You know, I mean, we saw this with the Holocaust. We saw this when there was a dictator who made it sound really good in the beginning, and then, you know, the very next day after he was voted into office, things went downhill from there. And,
well, this,
you know,
this is the problem. The problem is America needs to wake up, get involved in local elections. I'm still waiting for our callers to start hitting the #1 button and get on this phone and tell me you are working on a local election. sheriff, water board, fire board, school board, city council, what are you doing? Because America needs common sense, not common core. And the only way to educate, I love, there's actually a Twitter lady in California named Hippie Chick in San Diego. She said she no longer talks politics. Low information voter education. That, I love that key phrase right there.
Well,
low information voter education.
Yeah, I think that we need to become political agitators. We need to get in the trenches, and we need to hold people accountable, hold their feet to the fire. And if the person that's running for school board does not have my child's best interest at heart, then, you know, they need to go.
Look for Americans who are willing to enter the most uncomfortable point in their life and get involved. I want people who are willing to put it all on the line, like Dan, like you, like Stacy, everything in. Let's do this. No more lying, no more complaining. Jump the hurdles.
We don't have any that much more time. If we don't get things going before the next presidential election, we're about to lose it all. The window of opportunity is closing rapidly. And you think World War II is bad? Wait until, or even our Civil War, because I believe that unlike Germany, this will fracture between two sects, and you're going to make Civil War look like a family disagreement.
And the bottom line is four more years of liberal control of America, and God forbid, our choices are Joe Biden and Monica Lewinsky's ex-husband's wife or ex-boyfriend's wife. Either way, you will no longer have a constitution. Period.
No, I agree. And we're seeing it happen today. I did a post on the Fourth Amendment showing how we're losing our Fourth Amendment. We're basically lost our Fifth Amendment. We no longer have Miranda rights. Our Second Amendment is well on its way to being gone. Our First Amendment is being attacked. It's not going to be long before we're going to have nothing left. And if we don't get up...
We the people have the right to nothing.
Right. And right now, we need to take back our Constitution and our rights as Americans. And we need to get off our duffs, get out there in the trenches. I mean, people think that, we get on this to be heard or to become famous or something like that. That's the last thing I want. I can think of a lot better ways of spending, my final years on this earth than doing this. But this means everything to me. I mean, and it's not for me. It's for my grandchildren, because we have to look down and sit down and say, what are we going to leave my children? What's going to be our legacy? That we lost it, that we lost this country, that we screwed up the Constitution? I don't want to be known for that. We had the greatest document created in the history of mankind, and we're destroying it. And we're allowing, I can't believe how few people are not absolutely furious with the lack of anything that Congress, literally, I can't mention a congressman that I'll give you 2 cents for anymore. Because I hear some political rhetoric on the floor, but when push comes to shove, nobody's doing anything. When are we going to wake up? when are we going to finally say enough is enough? You know, and we're going to have to go against our own government. This is why I've been speaking about the local militias, because I'll tell you right now, it's the federal government against the states. And if the states are not prepared to protect themselves, we're in a heap of trouble. I mean, it's the only salvation I see us having is, you know, Florida has already told the federal government that you come in here, you know, with your Department of Homeland Security as an armed military group, you're going to be met with resistance. Well, we only have seven states, you know, we only had seven states so far that have said that. We need every state to say that. So the federal government.
We need elected officials with the guts to say it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have you guys heard of Mark Levin's new book that came out today? He's actually calling for the states to stand up, not for a constitutional convention, but for a state convention to propose amendments to the Constitution. And I think that if we all put our grassroots effort behind that, we might actually have a chance. I mean, it's not a short-term goal by any means, but I think y'all both are right in that the states is our last hope.
Yes, and our sheriffs are the last line of defense.
Exactly, because we've lost on the federal side, and we've proven that. So now it's time for the states to stand up and say, this is it. And, you know.
Well, the bottom line
states...
is.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom line is for American citizens right now, if you do not have a conservative sheriff in your county and you're sitting on your couch, you're screwed. Period. It's time to get up and fight. By bullet or by ballot, the restitution of this country will happen. Which would you rather see?
Mm-hmm. That's why I've been pushing the ballot part.
Thank you. Yeah, my son's a Marine. I don't want to have to go through this.
Neither do I. I mean,
yeah.
I'm allergic to lead. So, you know, I want to do this peacefully. I do not want to see a third revolution.
You're not that old.
Well, I read about the other two, and I didn't, you know, the Civil War, we lost 600,000, which was 25% of our population at the time.
Well, Jennifer brings up a good point. How do we get K. Carl Smith out there all across America? How do we get the message out? Because Americans need to hear it. He is the single most important person in the fight to bring back this country right now.
Mm-hmm.
He has been given a mission, and that mission is fix this country.
Well, we have to spread the word as much as we can. And
Jennifer, what's the website?
There is a video fixing to come out. Hopefully you'll start seeing it go viral on Friday. And this is the Frederick Douglass Republican 101 video that we're putting out, not necessarily titled that per se, but we're calling it Key to Freedom. Key to Freedom. And it explains what we're doing. We're going around the country, and we're training people how to embrace, how to have dialogue with your family, with your friends, and to encourage people, inspire people to get back to the political distinction that we once had, inspire people to vote their values. And in doing so, if a person, regardless of the party that they belong to, if the person that is running for office does not believe in the same, does not respect our Constitution, if they do not believe in limited government, if they do not espouse to respect for life and personal responsibility, then those are not the kind of people that we want to endorse. And so we are asking for people to understand, get trained. We're inspiring people. We're giving people courage to stand on their own two feet and to be able to go anywhere in the United States, regardless of where they're at, whether it be north, south, east, or west, and they're able to talk to whoever, and they can have a bold and ability. They have the confidence that they need to be able to talk and share things, because what has happened over the years is that we have had media that have pretty much, they have framed the debate, and they have taken over. And we have got to defeat the vile and malicious attacks of the left in the media propaganda, just like this clown that was, you know, if he had been mocking President Bush, would anybody have said anything? No. So it's like, okay, so long as you're not tearing us apart, we're not going to bother you. But the minute you come attacking us, you know, all they know how to do is to finger point and attack. And there's no real substance to any of it. You know, I can tell you, there's a guy that did some videos right after this March CPAC that we had in D.C. There was a guy that was doing some videos, and he was trying to attack the Frederick Douglass Republican message and the methodology. And he didn't really have any truth to stand on, you know. And now all he's got that he's able to attack on is old news. There's nothing that he can come at. I'm telling you, there was no person out alive that stood for the Constitution and stood for the freedom and liberty than Frederick Douglass. And you cannot tell me that a man who was born below poverty, he rose above that. He was a 47%er, became a 1%er. You can't tell me that in today's age, when we have the economy the way it is, we have people that are illiterate, you know, people that are having struggles, and that you can't say to me that you're a victim and that you can't pull yourself out from under. I'm telling you, this man had a hunger to learn, and he wanted to understand. And he even went back to his people that where he grew up with, and he tried to teach them the same things that he had learned. He was an advisor to 5 U.S. presidents. So you tell me that you grow up in Chicago or you grow up in Detroit and you live in some of the poorest of the poor neighborhoods, and there is, you can start from nothing and you can become a 1%er. And this man, who didn't even have the right to own his own body, was able to achieve those things. He is definitely my hero, you know. And if anybody tries to twist that story, don't look in the writings. Don't look in his own writings. There are, in history, you can read stuff. This is not somebody else's this idea or coming up with, drumming up some sort of an idea of what this man thought about this or that. He actually wrote about it himself, you know. But the liberal left don't want to talk about Frederick Douglass. They would rather talk about Martin Luther King. And even that, they have, I believe today that Martin Luther King is rolling over in his grave. How they have taken a man that, I have a lot of respect for Martin Luther King, you know, and I really applaud what he attempted to do in trying to bring peace to this nation, you know, and he did a lot to try to champion civil rights and that sort of thing. But I can tell you, that the Democratic Party wants to take responsibility for being the champion of civil rights for over the last 200 years. And I can tell you, 200 years ago, it is documented in history. The Democratic Party was standing for slavery, and they were standing for racism, and they were aligning themselves with the KKK, and there was so much that was going on back then. For you to say that's a bold-faced lie, and they have it on their website, look in the history section of the Democratic Party's website, and you will see. And do the math. Look at the history. The facts are there. But, you know, they want to take bits and pieces of information, and they distort it. And what's happened over the years is you got people that have become puppets, and they just believe what somebody else says just because they have a D by their name. You know, and today, my future, my son's future is more important to me. I believe that it's personal responsibility, that it's my duty to go and do my own homework and find out the real answers. You know, I get frustrated when people out there, I mean, I've got somebody that I know who is running for office, and he's putting party and politics over people and principles, because he's looking for, in his mind, you know, he's trying to play both sides of the fence so he can get elected, you know, and either you stand for truth and you stand for liberty or you don't, and it will show in the end. From the schoolhouse to the White House, we need to hold our candidates' feet to the fire and our elected officials' feet to the fire, and if they don't represent and stand for liberty and the Constitution and, you know, the Bill of Rights, then I don't need you. I don't need you.
Well, Jennifer, you know what's funny is today in the USA Today, they actually had, and this is funny, an article. It's the What You Didn't Know About Dr. King's Dream Speech, and it's Myths and Misconceptions. And it was funny because his original speech apparently did not even contain the I Have a Dream portion of his speech. That was an ad lib. It was about personal responsibility and normalcy. Never again take the word of somebody else that you are less of a human than they are. That was his original speech. Stand up on your own two feet and take personal responsibility. And the I Have a Dream portion of it was an ad lib and became the most famous speech given in our generation. And it was an ad lib. The speech was about standing on your own two feet, take personal responsibility. And it was just absolutely amazing. Like, this was in today's paper in the USA Today. I was like, wow, I didn't even know that. Amazing article.
No, I never heard of that either. I always thought it was, that was what
here
the
it
way
is.
It was said.
When the amazing. Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. took the lectern on the March on Washington 50 years ago, delivered his I Have a Dream speech, the text in his hand didn't even contain the words, I have a dream. The refrain and the part of the address it punctuated and propelled was improvised on the spot. August 13th, 2013, USA Today. And I'm looking at this going, oh, my God, are you kidding me?
Well, MLK was, you know, a brilliant man. And one of the things that drives me crazy is the Democrats are trying to tell the world that he was a Democrat. When in fact he was conservative. I mean, his family to this day are all conservatives.
Well, his niece
you
was
know,
with Glenn Beck on stage stating the very same thing, and they still don't believe it.
I know, and it just makes no sense. You know, and Frederick Douglass, the Democrats, as Jennifer was saying, you know, they don't even want to mention Frederick Douglass because, you know, they can't write him off. And so if they can't write you off or they can't knock you down, then they just ignore you. And that's the way that party is working. The problem is they don't even know the path they're on. They don't know where this path is leading. We do.
Well, isn't that the teachings of Christ is the best way to advance the devil is to convince people he doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And this devil that we're going to be fighting is going to be the worst that this world has ever seen. And I don't want to see that, you know. That's why I'm down here in the trenches with all of you, fighting tooth and nail, because we got to wake people up, or I don't even want to think about it.
I think at this point, we've all said it over and over again in our own special way, but I think it's time to get just straight to the bone and straight up about it. Every single person listening to the show right now, I want you to look at your children. Look at your children, look at your grandkids, and I want you to tell me they don't matter. Otherwise, you need to get up off your couch and get involved. Look at your children, look at your grandchildren, and tell me what's more important, your comfort zone or them. Because every one of us five on this show have already made that decision. We're not the people who are in charge. Every single American listening to this show tonight, look at your children, look at your grandchildren. What is more important?
Mm-hmm. And that's what it's down to, because what are we going to leave our grandchildren? A life of slavery, working for a dictator? You know, and that's exactly what's going to happen. You know, this is, as I said, makes, you know, this isn't a race thing or anything like that, because this is going to be, unless you're willing to buy into the system, they're going to dispose of you. It's real easy. That's why these FEMA camps need to be taken down, and you know, they need to be torn apart. You know, don't give them a way of disposing of the bodies. But they were talking about 25 million people that they want to get rid of. You know, and this is sick. I mean, this is totally insane. I don't understand how they can convince as many people as they have into buying into this crap. But they, you know, they've been very successful, and they've been doing it for the last 100 years, and little by little. And now
it's
to the point where...
who are asleep, man.
I was going to say, Rodney, you're talking about look at your children and see if they matter. And just to put it in a tiny bit of perspective, and obviously that's why I'm in what I'm doing, because this is exhausting. You know, there's not enough time in the day to do all the things that I want to do, but this is important. Anyhow, I'm going to show my age here, but I was born during a Ronald Reagan presidency. So I have literally never experienced a true free capitalist, free market society, because I've lived through the Bushes and Clinton and Obama. And it has been, so when you take that and you imagine what children who are being raised up now are going to see in presidents, they'll never know freedom. Because if what we're living today is the standard of what the future is going to be like, your children will not know freedom. Because what the Democrats, the progressive Republicans are doing, they look to Europe and they say, well, France is doing it, well, England is doing it, and I'm so tired of that. I'm so tired of hearing people say that. We are America. We've never done what other people do. We don't need their consent. We don't need to be the cool kids. We are America. And somehow, by becoming more and more like Europe, more and more socialist, it's a good thing. But when you stop and think about what it's going to do to the life of your children, like, I have so many papers that I carry around as a like as an American. I have a driver's license, a pistol permit, a birth certificate, a social security card, a proof of this, a proof of that. And to me, in a free society, in a free America, that's a bit much. And then you have places like New York where people are told what, you know, salt can't be on the table or drinks have to be so big or let's not have elevators in buildings anymore. This is stuff that children, like, it only gets worse from there. And that terrifies me for my kids. And to be quite honest, if I didn't already have kids, I wouldn't have one and put them in this society until I knew that we were going to be okay, because it's terrifying.
Oh, it is. I mean, what's going to be, you know, I was born during the Eisenhower administration. And I, as a kid, remembered, you know, how it was, how we didn't have to worry about the crime that we worried that we deal with today. We had morals. Every Sunday, we all went to church. I don't care what religion you were. Sunday mornings were off limits for everybody because that was the family. You went to church together, then you had breakfast together. And then Sunday afternoons, you know, you could do what you want. But it was, you know, we went out trick-or-treating. You know, I'm thinking about the things that I took for granted. You know, it was wonderful because we had a sense of unity. We had community. We had, you know, the local community would be putting on events for the kids, and everybody knew each other. You know, people would drive down the road and you'd wave at, you know, everybody would wave at each other. It was a wonderful way to grow up. And then I looked at it as my children grew up, and I started seeing it disappear. You know, right after, it was actually during the late 60s into the early 70s, right through the Carter administration. And then Reagan came in, and we got some of it back. And ever since then, it's been going downhill. And now there's nothing like my childhood left. And I feel, you know, it was my first year back. I was a captain on a boat for 15 years. And when I got back on the dry land, and the first thing I wanted to do was get ready for Halloween, and nobody showed up. And I was like, well, what happened? It's gone. You know, and then Christmas, you know, I was looking forward to going downtown and seeing all the nativity scenes, and they disappeared. And it's like, what happened? And, you know, this political correct crap, I am absolutely furious with. Everybody's afraid to talk against the Muslim Brotherhood and Islam. And I'm sitting there going, we got to talk up against these people. They're murderers. And, you know, I'm sitting there seeing how much we've lost in the last 50 years, you know what it's going to be like 50 years from now? I mean, I don't even want to think about it.
Dan, I have trouble, you know, thinking about what it's going to be like by the time Obama's done with his presidency. 50 years terrifies me even more.
That's what I said. I mean, we don't have a lot of time. You know, you're talking that if we do not turn things around at this midterm election, we are never going to turn it around. you're going to have a dictator, and you're looking at him. He's in the White House right now, and there'll be no turning back. Not without going to war.
It's not so much 8 years of Obama has destroyed most of our Constitution, but it's 4 more years or 8 more years of the following administration continuing the path that will completely eradicate our Constitution as we know it. And every amendment we have, every right we have, and everything we love that makes America great will be gone.
Including the second or the 22nd Amendment, which gives presidents term limits. Like, that's, to me, I get my tinfoil hat out when I start thinking this way, but they've destroyed the First Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, all of the top 10. Are we so naive to believe that they're not going to find a way around term limits for a president at some point? Like, I feel like as radical as they are, it's safe for us to assume that they're that radical.
A Democratic congressman has already put that on the table, is to remove term limits. So that's already began. It's just,
well, that's actually
why.
That one there, the eradicating the two-term, that's actually a Democrat from New York. Bush Senior, Clinton, that man has talked about removing the two-term presidency for 24 years now. That one is the one thing I can say, don't worry about it, it's never going to happen. It's every other thing in the Constitution is going to be a problem.
Mm-hmm. Well,
We don't have to worry about a two-term presidency if we're going to follow Obama with Hillary Clinton or Joe Biden. What's
That's
two terms
true,
up to with
we...
it if we're going to follow the if we're going to follow the same logic of what's destroying the Constitution in America? We're going to keep following that down the road for 8 more years of somebody else. The two-term limit is the least of my concerns.
That's a good point. When you have an entire party acting as a dictator instead of just one person, they don't need just one person. But I just fear the 2016 election, because I remember 2012 and how sick I felt that night. And how for a week I just walked around just disgusted. Actually, on November 7th, I went and bought my first handgun because I knew all this stuff was coming. And I'm like Dan in that the midterm elections are such a huge deal this time. And I can't wait to start campaigning. I wish somebody would come around and give me something to do, give me some phone calls to make.
Here's your good news, Jennifer. We've said it before. I keep talking about getting involved in local elections on this radio show every single week. I talked to Assemblyman Donald tonight. He's running for California governor out there against Jerry Brown. And I was telling him, look, these people need something to believe in that California can change from a blue state like Texas did. And the bottom line is our chairman of the Republican Party has even said he'll give up the governor's race if he can win 500 local elections. I said, here's your key. You give me volunteers to win 500 local elections, I will give you a Republican governor of California. That's the bottom line. You want to turn this country around, get off your couch and get involved in local elections. That's how we're going to take this country back, and that's how we're going to save the Constitution. We can't worry about the president. We can't go with the governor. We can't worry about top down. We have to go from bottom up.
I agree. Because there's no way you're going to change the federal government, not in this position right now. It's gone too far. And now the only way we can stop the federal government is through the state. And I don't know if people read my post, but I've been writing about state sovereignty. Because the state sovereignty is the key to everything. Because if we lose that, we lost the country. And each state needs to stand up and say, no, you are not going to control us. And they need to, as you said, Rodney, earlier, they need to reaffirm the Constitution of the United States. And if each state does that, and puts their state constitution identical to our federal constitution, then we can save the nation. Because eventually we cannot just outnumber them, and then we can start replacing these maroons that we have in office and replace them with good, solid conservatives, and then we can start mending this country. Then we can start downsizing. I say that, you know, if we can push on the states get together, you know, start cutting back on federal taxes and basically starve them out. You know, we got to do something. We know that Department of Homeland Security just purchased 1.25 billion rounds of hollow point ammunition. That, you know, hollow point bullets are against the Geneva Convention, which means that they're going to be used against us. So our state militias have to be there, and we have to have the state prepared for an eventual federal attempt at taking over the country. This has to start on the local basis. It has to start with the local militias. You know, your neighborhood. Just get together with, you know, five or six, you know, other people, families. Go out to the shooting range, practice, get to know how to work with each other. It's that simple. You know, it doesn't have to be anything special. It wasn't anything special back in the 1700s. It was a group of farmers. You know, we can do this. It's just a matter of getting off your duff and start getting involved.
Another part of local getting involved that we don't talk about a whole lot, but that's insanely important, and I think we're seeing a lot more of how important it is now than ever, is people don't really get involved and pay attention to, like, probate judges and district attorneys and stuff, you know, those kind of elections that get overlooked in the big picture and the news and all that. And as we see the rulings coming down from all these liberal progressive judges, that's eating away at our country just as bad as the administration that's in Washington. And so I think it's crucial that, like, when Rodney's talking about getting involved locally, that we understand how each position is important and how it impacts our lives. And while I'm talking about the judicial system, I have to say that I miss Scott Osborne tonight, and on his behalf have to say, free Don Miller, free Don Miller, free Don Miller. And if you're not aware of that, just Facebook Free Don Miller and find out about an injustice there. And then I'll show you why it's so important that we have fair judges and not progressive men and women with an agenda that they intend to play out from a bench.
No, I agree 100%. Is our DAs, you know, we saw this played out in just a little while ago with the Zimmerman trial, you know, where everybody agreed that there was no evidence against them, yet they were able to be manipulated by the federal government. And I don't even understand why they didn't say, tell the federal government to go to hell. They should have. I mean, but again, you know, political aspirations, you know, we'll offer you this spot if you just go along with us, you know, and it's been, that's the way this administration has worked the entire time. It's, we got to start on the local level, and we need good district attorneys, good judges. We, you know, we need to research into these people. We need to learn about them. It's not only the school board, it's the whole, everybody who we vote for on a local basis.
Well, you know, Dan, also, being back here in Wisconsin, I learned a very, very important lesson. I have to say one thing. Republicans, conservatives, Democrats, liberals, I don't care who they are, you want to fix this country, number one thing, start attacking the source. Quit attacking the people doing their job. I have actually, and I say this completely honestly, met some of the most fabulous teachers who actually care about the students, and yet in Wisconsin there is a massive war between the teachers and Scott Walker, and I personally think the teachers are not the issue. I have met some of the most fabulous, amazing teachers who want to do the right thing and are being stopped or forbidden from doing it because of administration, because of unions, and because of petty bickering amongst ourselves. You want to stop Common Core? We need to support every teacher in America that wants to do the right thing.
Oh, I think, you know, in California, it's the same thing. You know, I've talked, as I said, I talked to my friend about that a few weeks ago. And he's, you know, getting bad write-ups because he's fighting it. And the problem is the teachers have no support. And, you know, we gotta start supporting the teachers. You know, we got to start supporting doctors. You talk to any doctor about Obamacare, there's not one I've heard of who likes Obamacare. Nurses, everybody in the medical industry, nobody likes this crap. But, you know, it's because of the legislators that are getting this stuff through. As you said, legislators, unions, they're the ones that are doing it. The average person's actually pretty good, you know, wants what's best for this country. But, you know, it's big business. You know, these liberal groups that just, you know, I don't know, they want to take over the world or, you know, and it drives me crazy. Because all of us want the same thing, but what we don't know how to do is get together as it's we the people. And this is what the importance of the grassroots effort is. You know, we need to get everybody out there and say we aren't any different than those old farmers in the 1700s. We're the same people. And we got to attack it the same way. You know, if we the people don't do it, it's not going to get done.
Hey guys,
you know, we took on.
I'm sorry,
yeah,
hopping up. Jennifer has run off to help Kay Carl and work that, and I have mommed myself to sleepiness. I'm so sorry. You guys are having an amazing conversation. It's been a great night. But I'm going to have to run, and I wanted to let you know, instead of just running off, that I'm out for the night, and fight on, as always.
Well, thank you for
okay.
joining us, and as always, we love you, and we're glad you're with us.
Mm-hmm. And Rodney and I guess we're going to carry it on together for the last half hour of the show. And but it's been driving me crazy that, you know, we need that grassroots effort, you know, to get people, the average person, out there on the streets and showing them that, yes, one person does make a difference.
Yeah.
You know,
and
because
they do, you know.
Well, each of us have. I mean.
Well, you know, what's funny is we have, in my own county, the school board race, Todd White won by 9 votes. That's about as close as it can get in the county of 106,000 voters. You know, you've had elections won by one single vote. You know, and now it's getting scary. I keep hearing about they keep cheating. They keep voter fraud. And I keep looking back at Hugh Hewitt's book. If it's not close, they can't win. We need to focus on the Kay Carl, Frederick Douglass Republican message, the conservative message, less taxes, more jobs. Everything else is irrelevant. You know, you made the point. They beat us over a period of 50 years. And it's not going to be won overnight. It's going to take baby steps. And we need to move at it slowly, move at it from a local election. We're not going to win our Constitution back. We're not going to win the presidency back, nor are we going to win 50 conservative governors in America overnight. We're going to win school board races, fire board races, local elections, city councils, and, God forbid, your first line of defense against encroachment upon your constitutional rights, your local sheriff, period. And it's going to go from there. Like I said, you know, you give me 500 local elections in California, I'll give you a Republican governor. But you got to give me 500 local elections first.
Exactly. I mean, it's this is not going to happen quick. And people don't understand that. They seem to think that everything happens with the current president. Where we are today wasn't started by Obama. Obama's just a representation of what we have allowed to happen. But this began a long, 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 long time ago. And this has been, you know, the depression we're feeling today began during the Carter years. You know, and people don't realize that it was a bunch of little things that added up to where Obama was able to do what he's doing today. Congress didn't deteriorate into this mess overnight.
No, you know, and 20 years ago, you never would have had a Nancy Pelosi state, we have to pass the bill before we can read the bill. It's pathetic. But that took 20 years to get there.
Exactly. And people don't understand that, is that this doesn't happen overnight. This doesn't deteriorate to this point overnight. You know, it's not like all of a sudden every congressman and senator went south. This has been happening for over years and years and years and years. And, well, this is, we're paying the piper today. And now we have two choices. Either we can continue on the course we're going, at which point this nation will be gone, or we can start making little changes, and then eventually we'll win back our country. You know, the best we can hope for now is getting a president who's not going to make anything worse. And that's about the best we can hope for. And we can, you know, if we can get some legislators in there that allow business to grow enough that we can feed our families, that'll be our big achievement.
Well, at this point, I just want a president that's read our Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Even if his policies aren't perfect, I want a president who's read our Constitution and respects it, and we'll move from there. I don't need a perfect conservative. I need a conservative, and I need a person who's actually read, understands, and supports the Constitution of the United States of America. And from there, we can fight over intricacies.
I agree with you. You know, because right now, this president is making a mockery over our Constitution. And it's driving me crazy, the lack of respect they have on our Constitution. And I can't believe there's so many congressmen and so many senators out there are agreeing with them. You know, and our Supreme Court is the same way. You know, they totally ignore the Constitution in the United States. And it's like,
well, and even
the
ones who don't agree with them won't fight them.
Exactly.
They can disagree with them and they won't fight them. They won't stand up for what's right.
Mm-hmm. And I don't understand.
I want Mr. Smith goes to Washington.
Same here.
Yep.
You know, I'm sitting here going, why does it take people like you and I, everyday Joes, that are willing to, you know, stand up to the system when the people who are elected officials aren't? I mean, that's something's wrong with this picture. You know,
the problem is if there's not enough of you and I, we wouldn't have those people elected to office if there were enough people like you and I that decided to get involved and do the right thing.
Right.
Because we'd actually have elected officials. Can you imagine the day that our government elected officials are afraid to do the wrong thing because they realize we will come after them? Because there's enough of us that are going to hold them accountable and hold their feet to the fire, and they will actually think twice about their own self-indulgence, and they'll actually think about America.
That's what my dream is. You know, Dr. King said he had a dream. My dream is that our elected officials are going to be afraid of us. They're going to be there. They will do what we want, we the people, and not what's going to put money in their pocket so they can, you know, manipulate the system. I am just so, so upset with this. And that's what got me involved. And we need more people. You know, I'm praying to God we're reaching the numbers out there. You know, so people start listening. You know, people like Jay Carl and Wayne Dupree and, you know, people that are out there really trying to spread the word of what the truth is. You know,
it amazes me that people will share their friend's check-in at Subway before they will share the message, free America. You know, Jennifer said, free Don Miller, Don Miller, free Don Miller. I'm going to say, free America, free America, free America. But people won't share that.
Amen.
I agree.
Hey, guys, I broke in. You guys are having a great
discussion. God's here.
Hey, what's up, buddy? Mr. Walker.
Welcome.
I thought I'd come in and help you out a little bit. You guys are having a great show. You know, you guys are giving great commentary on the important part of the puzzle that we really developed, starting with Kay Carl last week. And, you know, it all ties together. I love to brainstorm. You know when you take and you write a word on a piece of paper, and then you write other words, and then you circle those and connect them, and you put together thoughts. And, you know, as you guys are talking tonight, here's my thoughts. And this attaches to what we did with Herman Cain. This attaches to the foundation of what Kay Carl is doing. And it touches to everything. And that's that it's going to take the grassroots to get in and educate the people. We can get great guys running. You know, we've got some great candidates across the country that are running. We've got some great people that could run. But no matter what, each one of those is going to need people that are willing to help. Now, the thing is we already know that method works. It's just we haven't been doing it. Like you say, you know, we've sometimes been just laying on the couch, and we've got to get out and do it. You know, as we go forward, it is so easy, and Stacey talked about it so well, you know, those days after the election, just shell shock, because I didn't think that they would find that many votes. And we know they cheated on some. I mean, that's just obvious. We know they did. They don't even make that quiet anymore. They don't even do it. But, you know, you said something that made me think of this. There's a song that Amy Grant did. It's called "It Takes a Little Time." And the words to it are, "It takes a little time to turn the Titanic around." And we can do this. We, the people, can do this. We know. We proved it with Herman Cain. The grassroots network of people that he didn't even know was there at the time did almost all the work on raising that name recognition the fastest in the history of the United States over a certain period of time. So we know it works. It's going to take some time. We've taken a long time getting here. But if we don't just keep marching on like we're doing and like you guys are talking about doing, then we give up. But we can do this. We've got the tools to do it. And, Rodney, I like the way you said what you said tonight. You said it a little bit different. And it really is the message that we've got to get to the grassroots. The GOP establishment is never going to hear this. We might as well just ignore them. It is if you will develop a grassroots and win on the local level, the votes will automatically translate to the governor. They'll automatically be there for the governor's race because you're getting those people out. And that's the way the left has been playing. That's the way play. We just are still stuck in that same old mode. And, you know, I really would like to have a show where all we had on was campaign managers. So we could tell them a few things. Because, you know, it all comes down to if you're going to run that old-style campaign where you guys sit down in a room and first thing you look for is how do we get lots of big money, and the second thing that you look for is, okay, we got to decide where you're going to stand in front of the camera because if you don't stand right, we're going to lose votes. And I really believe, Rodney, and I know you know better than me because I do everything I do from home. You do it in your car. There are plenty of people out there willing to run that are willing to engage at grassroots. Not only engage grassroots, but make it their effort to educate their constituency on the basics, But as you guys have just put it all together so well tonight on that, and it is going to take a little time, and we've got to take baby steps. You know, we're never going to get there if we don't, and it doesn't happen to happen overnight. But I think we can do this, and I think we're seeing them stand up. Don't you think, Rodney?
I think so. I think the main thing is they're not only starting to stand up, they're starting to believe. You know, tonight Tim Donnelly is at the Placerville Tea Party, and one of his main things in his speeches is California can change with what we did in SB16 in the special election by winning a seat we can't win. You know, and it was done at a grassroots level. And, you know, you mentioned it. You got a bunch of consultants sitting around a desk figuring out how do we raise the most money so we can pocket the most money, run a bunch of commercials, and that's not what America's interested in. America wants to actually know, what's this person going to do to represent me? What's this person going to do to benefit me, to help me benefit myself, my family, to move forward and be a better person? You know, and that's what they want to hear. They don't want to hear a bunch of slick talk. You know, I think it's great. I actually used this statement this week up here in Wisconsin. Everybody loves fast-talking, slick maneuvers, but it's ShamWow, not my local representatives.
Mm-hmm.
Because representing me is not ShamWow. It's my life. It's my children's future. I'm not interested in ShamWow. I'm interested in the truth. I'll go buy ShamWow when I want something to wipe my car with because it's wet.
That's right. And, you know, there's some obvious signs. I often like to use the illustration of an automobile dashboard because it tells you different things. It tells you different levels of things that are important. And you use it as an easy tool to look. And when we look out into the political landscape and we put it on a dashboard, there are certain things that are hard. It's hard to get the money. It really is. It's also certain things that we know. And we know that certain things attract the grassroots. Certain things can be done a certain way. Herman Cain ran that. He ran that thing on $10,000 a month forever, it seemed like, until he won at Florida CPAC. And then the news media took it away. When it comes to name recognition, we did it, and they did it on nothing. In fact, Herman Cain, and this is from, I've talked to some of the people at the top of the top of the top of the top of the top. Herman Cain, before CPAC, had no clue that we were all working for him. He had no clue that all those people across the United States had networked into states, organized, and were on a daily basis, some of us, doing things to help get his message out. It worked. The train worked even when the driver didn't know he had all the cars attached to it. But we know that it works, and that's one of the things we got to look at on the dial. We know there's certain things that aren't right. We know that California voters are not as liberal as we're told. We know that. We also know that the voter themselves are not hearing what is truth. They're not hearing it. We look at climate change. You know, Dan, there was a great, I just think I saw it on the Blaze. In Washington, D.C., they had a climate change rally, and nobody showed up. You know, do you ever go to Politico? You know, Politico is a left site, a left news aggregate. But you know what? If you go to Politico, read the articles, and then read the comments, you will find that the left point of view on comments in a lot of places are just not even hardly there anymore. You know, it was Obama's team, Obama, that set up this climate change thing in D.C. that they've scrubbed it from the website. You can go to the Blaze, I believe it is, and find that link. There's certain things that tell me that the left's point of view, when presented to the population as a whole, from beginning to end, makes most people run. But we got to get out there, and we got to tell the guy over there next door that never pays attention to politics. We got to get out and do it. We got to organize in teams. Herman Cain, you can think at this point whatever you want. I've got my certain feelings both ways on what happened over that last 2 years. However, it worked. And it worked because you had a guy that could really message real well, that had the excitement and the stamina to attract attention. People liked to listen to him. And he had a team of thousands of people all over the country finding every way possible to get the name Herman Cain out and get his message out.
Well, Scott, as you did tonight,
I heard once say, the federal government cannot micromanage. I've spent the last 2.5 years repeating that message. And so we know it works when we take a David Vivek, and we put a team behind him, and we put some common sense in the discussion, and we make an effort to change minds of heart, we win elections. It's all laid out for us. We're not living in a country that the people feel the same way the country's turning. I mean, obviously, they've never been able to get below 60% of the country not liking Obamacare. They've never been able to do that. It's fluctuated a little bit. They've never even come close to being 50%. And they would really need 40% in order to have a mandate.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have it. And the American people don't like it. And the American people, some of them are saying we don't like it. Some of them just don't understand that it's a problem. But if they fully understood the ramifications, they would. You win this battle. But and this is where, you know, I love to talk to the listeners. I appreciate every person that listens to this. We get the numbers. Right now, this is one of our most popular shows. We're doing really, really pretty good on the numbers for having as many shows as we do. But, you know, the listener needs to get up and do something. Find a group. You know, it looks to me finally like somebody's getting it. Ted Cruz seems to be wanting to put together a Team Kane. Now, that's what they've got to start doing. They've got to start putting, they got to get the people lined up, gather up some names, find out who's willing to be involved, put them in order, make your, you can't just have one person doing everything. You've got to have a team of people in each state doing whatever you're doing. Jay Carl, where we got to take him. He's got to have a team of people. They got to be active in every state of the union, and we can do this. There is enough people in this country that really, really, really want to take the basics of this country back to our Constitution, back to basic freedoms. We don't believe in the government just sweeping up every piece of information they can because they can in the name of crime. They don't need to be doing that. The American people don't like it. But right now, we got a bunch of leadership and on both sides. There are good ones and bad ones on both sides right now. There are Democrats that understand all of a sudden this socialist direction that their team wants to go in and are saying no. And there are some Republicans who are being absolutely complicit in it. And that's where we're at. That is where we are at. And I'm with you, Rodney. Let's just get them all out of there. I got a handful. There's a handful of them that are really worth keeping. And I don't agree with every single issue on with every single one of them. I like Rand Paul. I've got my reasons why I don't like him also. But we've got some good people that we can do this. 2014 is coming quick. It is absolutely coming quick. Be ready. You know, Facebook is really working on practicing right now, figuring out how to shut us out of the 2014 election. So we need to get prepared for that. We really do. They're just practicing right now. I'm in timeout for the third time because I asked people to be friends that I've never met before. Imagine that.
Yeah. I've just come off of probation. And they threatened the next time they're going to throw me out. And, you know, Facebook is definitely in a war against us. And I don't know if you've heard that group that's going to shut down on the 25th. There's a group that's planning to shut down. They're going to put their accounts on hold and boycott Facebook for 24 hours. And it's on November 25th. And telling the truth, I think it might be a good idea. It's, you know, if enough people get involved and say, you know, this is ridiculous. Go ahead.
It aggravates me, Dan, because, you know, as far as just a product, leave the politics out of it, just a product. It's the most awesome product that we've had ever. It replaced the telephone. You can call and talk on Facebook normally, like you would a telephone, or it's a telephone plus a phone book plus a conversation. It's an awesome tool. The brilliance of the tool is incredible. But they've made it very blatantly clear that they want to have a say in what information goes out there. And they're a private company. When it all comes down to it, they're a private company, and we use the product for free on advertising. So I'm a capitalist. However, the tool itself is so wonderful, absolutely so wonderful. And I've got, just a second, I just now see that Rodney got bumped and called back in, so we've got him back here.
Bone guy.
The tool is awesome, but we got to be prepared because they're practicing right now. And when we get to 2014, it's getting progressively worse. And when we get to 2014, Facebook's going to be a hard tool for us to use. I just see it coming. It's one of the things that scares them. We've got the social networking tools down now, and they've always been good at networking. That's what they've always done, and now we can do it. We've got the ability now on cyberspace, really, took thousands of hours of work 20, 30, 40 years ago. But if I can rely on it for almost all of my communication with everybody I know, I'd be out of there a long time ago. But I love the product, but I'm afraid we're going to be used for soon.
The good thing is other medias coming out that are like this, that are, there's one group that's starting up that is going to allow everything and not start doing what Facebook's doing. And to tell you the truth, once that name gets out, Facebook is going to find themselves gone. They're going to shoot themselves in the foot. Because who are the people who are the biggest buyers and purchasers of products are conservatives. It's not the Democrats. So what's going to happen is as the conservatives leave, the sponsors are going to leave with them. So Facebook better watch what they're doing. Just for salvation.
Well, you remember, Facebook will never go away as long as people want to post their sandwich pictures and they checked in at Starbucks and, so we can't count on them going away. That's the damn thing.
I don't think they'll go away completely, but they're definitely going to lose a big chunk of their market share.
Well, see, I'm not counting on that. What I'm counting on is the Conservative Party needs to actually learn to use social media. I can't believe the number of people who go, oh, I don't like to use Facebook. It's stupid. I'm going, really? Because we got you-know-what handed to us in 2008 because of social media.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to learn to use it. We need to learn to it's like the dark side of the Jedi Force. Learn to use some of the power that's available to you, otherwise you won't win.
Well, that's what all of us are here for.
Yeah, Jennifer
Montrose
is like the queen of tweeting, and it needs to be utilized.
Definitely, and the thing is that was another piece that made Herman Cain's game plan, the setup, so wonderful. You were brought into Team Cain, and you were immediately introduced to people. And you started to get to know people, and it went from there out to like Facebook, Twitter. There were those people that were in Team Cain that were helping people that never done Facebook or never done Twitter or never used these tools. I didn't use Facebook except for the and I had a Twitter account that I followed before. The only one I was following, I'd never tweeted it, been sitting there for like a year and a half. He put in a letter, joined me on Twitter, and I did, and I never went back. All of Blog Talk Radio, all pieces of the puzzle, I didn't know how to use all that beforehand. I didn't know what social media really was. I'm good at computers and or not. But really understanding that didn't happen until after Herman Cain. We got to get out. We got to get the people that are in the cyberspace doing what they can do, working along with the people on the ground. And we got mess out, and I think we can do it. Go ahead, Rod.
Well, you were listening earlier when I made the comment that out of San Diego, hippie chick on Twitter, she actually, her name's Terry Peters, and she actually had she no longer does politics. She is into low information voter education.
Yes, I heard that. Let's get her on the show.
I texted her tonight. I'd love to have her on the show. If she wants to call in, is it number one?
Because I think that's an excellent idea. You know,
I think that's a great comment. Low information voter education. And so I actually texted her and I said, call into the show. We'd love to have you on. So I will drag her into it. She actually worked with me on Chuck DeVore's campaign for U.S. Senate. She's an amazing person. And actually, she was named by John Fleischman of Flash Report one of the top 50 Twitter peacocks, top conservatives on Twitter. She was named one of the top 50 in California. And she's amazing because she's, like, on the ball. Although right now she's fighting the whole Filner thing. You know, apparently groping women is not a crime with Democrats. So.
Oh, exactly. And that's what I mean. There's another one, Filner. Weiner.
No.
We got all the pieces in our pocket. We've got all the scandal. We've got the government overreach. We got everything anybody has ever had before to win an election right now than we've ever had.
Yeah.
Do we
pick
it up?
Filner, you got Weiner. You got Jackson. You've got the guy from New York that was living in his own Section 8 housing without paying taxes. It's like, you've got to be kidding me. And then you got the upside-down housing market because of Barney Frank, or whatever his name is, Fannie Mac.
Yeah,
there you go. Yeah, it's like, you know, how many guns do we have to get people to wake up and go, wait a minute, duh. You know, and right now all we're getting is the duh, not the oh yeah. So, mm-hmm. I don't know.
Oh yeah, we have Solyndra, Fast and Furious, Benghazi.
Yep.
IRS.
NSA. You know, that's the thing, Facebook, the new Facebook settings. You can now set Facebook to only post to your friends in the NSA, the public in the NSA, the NSA only.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are so many. We could impeach this president on about 50 different things. And, you know, we have more ammunition than Carter has liver pills. And nobody's doing anything right now. I mean, it's true. I mean, this president, I mean, it's been proven by a sheriff that he's not even he wasn't even born in America. Heck, he even said he was born in Kenya.
Nobody
you know
cares.
We're in. You know, it's like the president even admits he wasn't born in this country. You know. What does it say in our Constitution? You have to be a natural-born citizen. You have to be a national-born, you know.
But
he's not.
And, you know, we got all kinds of pieces. All kinds of pieces. It all comes down to how to get to take the message out. And I think... You know, I want to throw this in real quick, and then I'm going to let you guys continue on. I got to get back to doing things. But I want to thank Stacey for saying Free Don Miller, Free Don Miller, Free Don Miller. Tune in Thursday on the Underground Hard Drive, that's blogtalkradio.com/Underground Hard Drive, for the Free Don Miller Show. And we are getting close to some very, very big things. I believe in the next couple of weeks, There's going to be some major wall falling on this. I want to start. If you haven't listened, please, listeners and archive listeners live Thursday night. Listen to it sometime in the archive. That's fine. You don't have to call it listen in live. Let me tell you, the story is it involves conspiracy and cover up, and it's worse than you can imagine. We've got things that we know, and we got things that have been kept very, very quiet for reasons of making sure everything gets done right. But the more I dig into this and the more I find out, it's absolutely insane. So I want everybody to enjoy that. I want to thank you guys. I hand it back. Just ongoing till your last breath. And I want to thank you guys for filling in tonight. It's been a long day, and I'm going to go back and do some more of it. So thanks, guys.
Well, now, Scott, you heard about, you're doing Free Don Miller, Free Don Miller, Free Don Miller. And Dan and I came up tonight with Free America, Free America, Free America.
Yes, I definitely, we're going to do it. All right, you guys, it's all yours.
Okay, thanks. But I mean, I agree with you, though.
It's always good when the big boss man calls in.
Definitely. But, yeah, we have more than enough ammunition. I mean, that's not our issue. Our issue is get somebody to do something about it.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I don't know what it's going to take. Our speaker is totally useless. Boehner is, he's a joke. He's trying to even stop the Benghazi investigation. Where's that going? Nowhere.
What?
Where's the IRS scandal going? They've just been, they just actually increased, I think, to start attacking small businesses.
Exactly. He's not standing up. We elected him speaker for a reason. He's not standing up for it.
No, he's not standing up for anything. The guy is useless. And I'm just sitting here going, why did we even elect these people? Even people like Rand Paul, he talks a good game, but why isn't he out there really, raising hell? I don't understand this. And, that's why I'm here today. I'm so sick and tired of watching our country go to where.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Nobody doing anything about it. And it's, I'm finding out even on my Facebook account that just by saying the truth, people are going, thank you for standing up. And it's like,
are you there?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I lost you for a second.
Mm-hmm.
My headset cut off, so I lost you. But so,
are you there?
The bottom line is, yes, I'm here.
Okay.
Can you hear me? Okay, good.
Yep.
So, the bottom line is, if people don't wake up, they're never, like I said before, if by the time your life becomes uncomfortable because something's going wrong and the government's intruding on your personal values.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. I mean, it's,
Get up and get involved now.
Stuff.
Yeah. get up and get involved now, or it will be too late and it won't matter anymore.
That's very true.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't just sit here because this is enjoyable for all of us. I don't think, you know, any person doing this is, you know, doing this for fun. You know, we're doing this for our nation.
Yeah.
And
well,
our grandchildren.
You know, the funny thing is, we've got a 26-year-old who's a single mother working, what, three jobs and still can make our radio show. You've got Scott Osborne who's doing our radio show. You've got you and I that have been doing this for ages for our grandchildren, our children. And you've got Montrose, who's currently at an event with Kay Carl. Scott Osborne was absolutely absent this evening because he could not call in, and he could not help himself, thank God. And he had to call in because it mattered. Everything. I'm in Wisconsin, you know. I'm broadcasting from my cell phone, which keeps dying. We do whatever it takes because it matters to us. It's not within our comfort zone. Trust me, I just finished 11 days straight at a fair, 17 hours a day. I am exhausted. I have not done laundry. I have not called home. My wife is home with Tim Donnelly tonight, standing in for me for hopefully the future governor of California. I'm not there. I would rather be asleep right now. But I'm here talking on the radio because it matters. You're here. Jennifer called in. Stacy was here. Scott called in. We do this because somebody has to, because nobody else will. And it's, you know, and like Hippie Chick said, educating low-information voters. That is exactly our goal, because America right now doesn't get it. They elected Obama to a second term based on, let's be honest, absolute failure, disregard for our Constitution, ignorance of our military, ignorance of America, the strong, the great, and the wonderful, but they still reelected him because they have been convinced he's the shining star in the free ride. Well, the problem with socialism, whether it's Rome, England, France, or anywhere else, eventually you run out of somebody else's money.
Right.
And they don't get it. Those free cell phones cost somebody money. That you think health care sucks now? Wait till it's free. Wait till it's run by DMV.
Yep.
Churchill. In California, the number one reason why you don't get registered to vote in California, this is actually true. Number one reason you don't get registered to vote in California is because you registered to the Department of Motor Vehicles and they forgot to turn in your registration form. You show up at the polling place and they go, oop, you're not registered. These are the same people who are going to be running health care. The only health care system in the world run by the Internal Revenue Service. There's more IRS agents than doctors. They have hired people to fine you for not having health care than they've hired doctors to take care of you. We live in an industry and an environment where it's more important to band-aid the solution than to fix the solution. Let's call it ADD and prescribe your kids drugs. Let's go ahead and indoctrinate your children in sixth or seventh grade. And now in California, let's go ahead and let boys and girls share bathrooms together because they might be sexually confused. Let's take the parents out of the picture. Parental sovereignty is the concept of our entire show. Let's stop talking about how you raise your kids because, God forbid, you're an idiot. Your parent, the government knows better.
But I mean,
please continue posting subway pictures and your favorite vacation shots on Facebook. Ignore politics until it becomes personally uncomfortable for you, and then you kind of go, oh, shoot, what can I do? Really? What could you have done? Because it's too late.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I mean, you and I, as you said, we are for our grandchildren. We aren't here for ourselves. I mean, by the time it gets too bad, I'll be gone. And, you know, I mean, but you know something? I have to know that my grandchild is going to be able to grow up in the land of the free and know what the beauty of what we have and what the beauty behind our country is. I was also looking at, you know, our government is trying to tell us that, you know, the Department of Homeland Security needs to be stronger so they can protect us. So the NSA says the same thing, is that they need to take away our Fourth Amendment rights to protect us. And here's a wonderful saying that I have on my Facebook page from Benjamin Franklin. And this quote is, "They who can give up essential liberty to obtain a little temporary safety deserves neither liberty nor safety."
Yes. That was a great Reagan phrase.
You know,
said it before Reagan?
Benjamin Franklin.
Real
old phrase. But it's very true.
Yeah.
And Reagan is,
I told you earlier, you know, I'm out here in Wisconsin and I fly out here and they have, I left my driver's license on the plane, either fell out of my pocket or it's in the pocket in front of the seat, and their policy is discard the ID, but they won't let you fly without an ID. I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? And it's like, you have no rights, dude. So I'm out here. Fortunately, I did find out that, thanks to my congressman, I have a passport I've never used before, and that'll work. So.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't believe that we're just, you know, it's gotten so crazy. You know, you can vote without an ID, but you can't get on a plane. That makes a hell of a lot of sense. Yeah, we can take away our constitutional rights, but we'll leave our borders open. I mean, this is just, it's utter stupidity.
And did you read the one? Did you read the Facebook post I reposted? It had a guy, he said, "I took my shotgun out today. I stuck him on my front porch. I gave him 6 shells. And seeing he couldn't walk, put him in a wheelchair. I came back 4 hours later. A girl had apparently walked her dog past my house. A kid had cleaned up my front yard. Multiple people had driven by, stopped at the stoplight, and yet nobody died. I either have an overabundance of lies regarding guns or violence, or I have the laziest gun ever bought. Tomorrow I'm going to go ahead and test the spoon theory for making people fat."
It's like, true.
I mean, to that post, you know, we live in a world, you know. Have you ever known anybody who ever, like, might have tripped their foot and twisted their ankle at a, you know, parking lot, and we want to represent you? You know, not because you were drunk and tripped, but, you know, God forbid.
It's true. I mean, it's our today. Nothing makes sense. I mean, it's total anarchy. We keep on getting fed a line of crap from our legislators.
Yeah.
And it's,
well, you know, what's funny is my wife posted on Facebook one day, she spilled her coffee on her lap because she didn't tighten the lid. Instantly, 3 people post, "Wait a minute, McDonald's got sued because of that. You can make money." And I'm going, she spilled her own coffee. She made the coffee.
in her own cup, and she tightened the lid. She can't sue herself. Everybody calm down. But that was the first comment was, ooh, you can make money on this. I'm going, really,
exactly.
People? Come on. You know, seriously. It's just because somebody else did it doesn't make it right. You know, it's like, when did you stop beating your wife? I want to try it, too. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Just because somebody else does it doesn't make it right. It's still wrong. You know? And I love, you know, and that's the liberal thing, you know. Well, Bush did it. Okay, so that makes it right nowadays? So he passed the Patriot Act, which violates my civil rights. Does that make it okay for Obama to do it, too? No. Quit blaming Bush. I want my Constitution back. Joke's over. I'm done.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, well, our constitutional rights have been chipped away for years. You know, when they first put that that law attached to the Second Amendment regarding fully automatic weapons. Well, you know something? Our Constitution wasn't designed that way. If you don't like the idea of automatic weapons, you change the amendment. There
well, the bottom
is
line
no,
is, I've never met an automatic weapon that killed a person yet. I have, I do know of a few people who've done it, not the gun.
Exactly. It's like,
yeah.
No gun is capable of killing a person.
Yep.
People are capable of killing people.
Yep.
You know, it's not the gun's fault.
Uh-huh.
You know,
well, what
it,
was
I mean,
it,
it's...
What was it that Stacey was talking about on the air last week that... Her kids are being taught that, you know, what was it? Was that I was in shock. The revolution was because they were. I forget how she put it.
It was an experiment on big business.
They sent them over here, yeah.
And it's like,
you
know, it's like, I don't know how the hell they're getting away with this. You know, it's, you know, where are they coming up with this nonsense? You know, when she told me that was a college class, I was,
yeah.
It would be, if I was in Alabama, it'd be worth it for me to pay the money to take that class just so I could rip that professor apart.
Oh, man. Oh, my God. I would pay for that. Oh, my word. I would love that. I would like be sitting there going, everybody stand up, you know. That would be the greatest thing in the world to be able to just sit there and go, dude, you are so full of crap. Because he is, you know. I would pay for that in a second. But that's the problem. Americans won't do that. They will not stand up for what's right. They will not stand up for what's good. They're going to keep their mouth shut, put up with it until it's too late, and they're going to whine and snivel about it.
Well,
you know, instead of just, what's uncomfortable? For you to pay to go to a class to tell that professor to kiss you, you know what?
You know, I think it would be great.
Yeah.
But I've never been one to keep my mouth shut either.
Well, what was the Facebook post that was running all over the place? Was a little girl sitting on a plane, and the guy tells her, you know, well, let's conversate. She goes, what do you want to talk about? And he goes, let's talk about the fact that God doesn't exist and that, what was it? God doesn't exist. He's obviously a fallacy created by simple-minded people that don't have a clue as to what they stand for. And she goes, do you know how fast this plane is going right now? And furthermore, what is the direction, longitude, and latitude that we're currently heading? And the guy goes, what? He goes, I don't know that. And she goes, and yet you want to debate the birth of Christ, religion, faith,
and the apparent lack of knowledge you have with me. And the guy went, and stopped talking.
Well, it's true. I mean, it's, you know, I sit here and, well, for one thing, I challenge everybody, anything I say, prove me wrong.
Yeah.
Because,
well, you know, they have the great phrase, God has created the Ten Commandments and the Bible. Obama has created zero jobs.
Yeah, I mean, yes. Mm-hmm. You know, he's taken,
yeah.
He actually changed the definition of jobless. He dropped out the ones who are no longer collecting. They're no longer being considered in the ranks.
Yes.
By,
well, that's what
1980.
I had, well, Scott Lay in California. There's a guy named Scott Lay, does the Capitol Report, arguing on Facebook that Obama is obviously right and all of us naysayers are obviously wrong, that there's been a 5.5% growth in small business and a 2.3% growth in building and property value. And I went, I'm sorry, that makes me feel better as I'm paying more money for gas, food, expenses, mortgages, and everything else. I feel great. Thanks a lot. I'm still broke at a higher level, you know. And yet Californians are voting to raise their own taxes to save education while Governor Brown is signing bills for illegal immigrants can work the polls on Election Day, and apparently transgender confusion is a huge thing in California. So I'm like going, are you kidding me? I can't wait till the schools get sued for this stuff. I'm like, it makes no sense. What we want to do, we want to get back to less taxes, more jobs. It's very simple. Our founding fathers weren't very freaking particular about how hard this was.
Mm.
You know, they want to see America the Great, America the Great, America the Beautiful.
Oh, I agree. I mean, I can't believe how much you guys are paying for gas. What are you, up to $5 a gallon now?
Yeah, actually, $4.89 a gallon. $4.89 a gallon in gas. 8.75% sales tax. I'm glad to be in the state of Wisconsin. We have 5.6% sales tax and $3.50 a gallon for gas.
We're at three. I filled my car today, $3.32 a gallon.
Mm-hmm.
And
really?
Yep. Uh huh.
Wow.
That's a. And we have 7%.
That's amazing.
You know, I would not. You know, when I left California in 06, and it was because my electric bill every month was $600. My gas, I was paying like what you are right now. I can't remember what the exact amount was, but everything was so much more expensive. And I said, the hell with this, you know, and I had it. And a lot of people moved out of the state just because of that. You can't afford to live in California. You know, and it's a shame because it's a beautiful state. But it's, you know, the government, between Boxer, Feinstein, Pelosi, you know.
Yeah, that's great. Name all the California. Name all the California ones, Dan.
Well, I mean, Wilson was the last good governor you had.
I know it.
Yes. And as soon as he talked about not giving driver's licenses to illegal immigrants, he got trashed.
Uh-huh.
We've done from government deregulation of the energy industry, no driver's license for illegal immigrants, no school funding for them to whom we all of a sudden have, the transgender bill, and illegals can work the polling place on election day. They stopped the energy deregulation in midstream, which screwed everything up. We still have no energy grid. We have power outages everywhere, and, and I just got beat by pool.
I said enough was enough. And being from back east, I went home. I'll take Florida any day. Yeah. So it's a shame, as I said, and all my friends in California, saying the same thing, is that, the government's destroying the state. How much longer are they going to be able to go before the whole system collapses?
Well, it won't be long. Socialism's great if you find out somebody else's money. So, it's totally just.
It's a shame.
But,
well, at least
without Scott and the rest of them. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, it's 11:36 my time, 12:36 your time, and I'm looking at, we may be closing early this evening because I am exhausted.
That sounds good to me, and we don't have our normal closing music, so we're just going
to... Well, I'll close with this. It's very simple, America. If you are listening to this show, if you listen to the replay, if you listen to the replay of the replay, I'm going to put this on Facebook. I'm going to spread the word. Get off your butt and get involved. You cannot win it from the top down. You must win it from the bottom up. I want to hear, Dan, this is my number one problem with Scott and you and I and Stacy and Jennifer. I have yet to hear a caller call in, hit the number one button, and tell me what local campaign are you involved in? Is it a city council race? Is it a sheriff race? What is it? I want to hear from America. I want to hear from our callers. If you're listening to this online, afterwards, right now, whatever it is, what are you working on? Are you involved or are you just complaining? You're either part of the solution or you're part of the problem. We come to a point in this country, there's only two choices. The problem, the solution. There is no more middle ground because our Constitution, our way of life, our very foundation of our country is in jeopardy. Make up your mind. Where are you at? A or B? There is no C. Do you agree, Dan?
I agree. Agree with you 100%. We gotta get off our duffs and start getting out there and making changes, because if we don't do it now, there's not gonna be a tomorrow.
And I've even said it before. I will help if you wanna run for office, I will help you build your campaign plan, I will help you find your volunteers. I will do everything I can for you, and I will charge you zero. You need to get a hold of me. You need to get a hold of Dan. You need to get a hold of Montrose. You need to contact us. You need to watch K. Carl Smith. Get him in your county. Get him involved in your campaign. We will spread the word. Education of low-information voters is what we do, because that is how we win this country back.
Yeah. Because, we're free, and we'll be happy to mention it right here on our show. We'll give you airtime, everything.
Yep.
Just do it.
And with that, let's close tonight's show with two things. Free America, free America, free America,
God bless America. God bless our troops.
Amen.
Amen.
Have a good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Bye. Good night.